The Cumberland House Cree Nation is offering a $10,000 reward for information leading to the cause of a fire that destroyed the community's band office last week. Chief Rennie Chaboyer says he believes arson was the cause of the December 2nd blaze. The office held a number of important band services, including finance, income assistance, housing, and post-secondary student support. A number of historical records were also destroyed in the fire. The blaze is still under investigation. So far, there's been no word on the identity of human remains found in the Prince Albert area. RCMP made the discovery while conducting a ground search last Wednesday afternoon. The announcement was made Friday evening. An autopsy will be done this week to identify the remains and determine a cause of death. The investigation continues. Saskatoon police are investigating the city's 16th homicide of the year. An injured 35-year-old man was found by police around 7:30 Saturday morning. Officers had been called to the 200 block of Avenue X North about a report of gunfire. The man was taken to hospital where he died of his injuries. Anyone with information is asked to contact Saskatoon Police or Crime Stoppers. Santa Claus came early for four communities in northern Saskatchewan on Friday and Saturday. Santa traveled from Prince Albert on a plane from Transwest Air. He brought gifts for children in Fond du Lac, Black Lake, Stony Rapids, and Wollaston Lake. Gloria Sutherland is the principal at Father Port Memorial Dene School in Black Lake. She says the children were thankful that they got to meet Santa.
We all know that children believe in this magic, and you know they look forward to Santa Claus every year. And for Santa to visit the school, like, you know, it's very exciting for the students.
This was the 19th year that Transwest Air has organized a Santa run in the north. A verdict in the trial of a former chief of the Fond du Lac First Nation has been delayed until next year. A decision had been expected in the case of Napoleon Mercredi on Friday, but the judge in the case says he needs more time. Mercredi is accused of misappropriating more than $775,000 in band funds between 2009 and 2011. The verdict has been rescheduled for February 21st. CP Rail says no injuries were reported after a train derailment shut down part of the Yellowhead Highway this morning. Traffic was rerouted along a stretch of Highway 16 between Guernsey and Plunkett. Officials say cars from a freight train hauling crude left the tracks early this morning and caught fire. It's not clear how many cars were involved, and so far it's not known what may have caused the derailment. Cindy Blackstock is slamming changes to federal Indigenous child welfare. Blackstock says many vulnerable children could be left out. The executive director of the First Nations Child and Family Caring Society says there are no details on how C-92 will roll out in January or how it's funded.
My big fear is that kids will fall through the cracks and families will fall through the cracks. The last thing you want on an emergency type of service, and I put child welfare in that category, is uncertainty.
Indigenous Services Canada says the implementation will be co-developed with Indigenous partners, and more details will be provided in the new year. A new BC law has the potential to speed up long-running, often log-jammed treaty settlement negotiations. The legislation implements the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. BC Treaty Commissioner Celeste Haldane says it could provide the last push for First Nations in the final stage of treaty talks.
It's going to make it easier. I also think that it's a complementary to the negotiations or the treaty negotiations process, because everything that's envisioned in the declaration, the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, is available in the treaty process.
The federal Liberal government has said in its throne speech last week that it will also implement similar legislation. An Indigenous lawyer originally from Manitoba says all lawyers should have a basic knowledge of Indigenous Crown relations and the residential school system. Michael McDonald co-chaired the Truth and Reconciliation Advisory Committee for the Law Society of BC. Last week, it moved to require all lawyers to take a six-hour Indigenous cultural course starting in 2021.
The Law Society's role is to protect the public interest in the administration of justice. Having competent lawyers that are aware of this, and many aren't because it's not part of our law school or education system given our age, having that core basic knowledge is minimum, and it goes to the heart of that serving the public interest and the competency of lawyers to do their job.
McDonald says law students in BC are now getting some cultural training. The Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives says visible minorities do not have as much access to wealth as non-racialized Canadians. Sheila Block is an economist who co-authored the report. She says looking at wealth can help us understand the role that racism plays in creating income inequality.
So when we broaden the lens to look at wealth rather than just looking at income, it can give us a bigger picture of what the cumulative impact of racism is, both over an individual's lifespan, but also potentially from one generation to the next.
Block says better data could lead to better anti-racism policies.